This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, good afternoon. It's the Disaster Recovery Hour. Disaster Recovery Hour. Your host, Chris Plunkett. Every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. here at WVNJ, 1160 a.m. The Voice. A lot of things cooking in the news regarding preparedness. I was down in a meeting yesterday in D.C. getting some information on a domestic overall approach on some of the agencies, what they're doing. It was a good symposium that I was at. I will report that over the following. I'm sorry about that. I will report that over the following coming weeks. We do have September 11th around the corner. Unfortunately, it's a significant date in our history now forever. I'm sorry about that. I'm trying to get that, whatever they call a frog in your throat. I don't know who came up with that line. But like I said, September 11th is just around the corner. September, the month itself, is now designated as National Preparedness Month. For me, I think every day should be National Preparedness Day. And some of the guys, most of the people that come on the show and people that I interact, whether it's through my personal, through it's my business, you know, CPP, Emergency Services and Restoration, / Service Master Franchise Owner also, through that, or the insurance people, or the management companies, or the local Jersey, Long Island, Westchester OEM guys that I run into on occasionally. Preparedness should be a state of mind. It is a byproduct of 9/11, unfortunately. like I say, I don't know, half a dozen times a show, and so with that, I lead into several newsworthy items. Over here in New Jersey, there was came out a couple weeks ago, but I forgot to mention it. There is now with, in fact, there was an article in the paper. Let me back up a second. There was an article in the paper a couple of days ago. A local fire department had to resuscitate a dog. That is a dog, and they did resuscitate. Dog is alive and well. But point I'm making here is that now it is part of the first responders' duties to respond and try to resuscitate and save dogs. They are part of their protocol. This is the intel I got from several people. Over the course of since reading that article, I checked in with that, and it is standard protocol, and that's fabulous, because let me tell you something. I had a dog. I no longer have a dog. Very big part of the family. So it should warrant the same type of efforts, and I know our first responders do that, going into burning buildings and things of that nature, and susceptible of collapses from the older buildings with amounts of water being poured on them to put out the buildings, and so that is a great thing. But one of the things that I read was Bergen County, including Morris County and also Hudson County, they have trailers now for these dogs, whether they're displaced because of, say, a multi-dwelling unit got affected, and people are displaced, they have the Red Cross are assisting them with lodging and where the dogs and cats and fish and so on and so forth. Kind of ironic that I said fish, because I remember being downtown after the towers a couple of days when I started working down there. I had gotten into a building that was no longer occupied, and one of the units I had to go in and remediate, they had fish, and it was like four or five goldfish, and the project took several weeks to do, and this is what I loved about the I'm not saying it because I'm laughing about it. These fish were pretty tough. These New York City fish. These fish survived with no food, nothing, and with all this contaminants inside the water. So that was a cool sign to see that life can restore itself along those lines, even a little old $1.55 goldfish. So the pets, again, part of the protocol. So I think some of the towns, if you ever wanted to check in with, last week with one of our guests talked about getting to know your first responders, your volunteer fire departments or your paid departments, and also the men in blue who drive around in the cruisers, get to know them and see what kind of information they have that you, or if you have questions, you want to ask them. They're receptive sometimes. During a call, they won't have the opportunity to answer you thoroughly, but that's quite all right. I'm getting some strange looks from these two guys in the studio here. Am I doing something wrong, people? So again, let's move on to some of the day's events. I want to thank last week John Grimendi. He was a ham operator. He's been in Joplin. He's been up and down the coast after the hurricanes, and he was instrumental in downtown when the towers went down with his assistance of getting information from one party to another party because of the towers with the big antenna going down. It was an ongoing battle down there, and the hams did the Lord's work, and they stepped up as American citizens. They're a volunteer organization, and they stepped up in the front line. And that's John's going to come on because I got some new information and some new things that are coming out from the Department of Defense, Homeland Security, and how the hams are being incorporated in that. So that's interesting stuff. You know, I know you're probably saying, you know, Chris, you know, it's property, it's a disaster. What are we talking about? Ham radios or something? Let me tell you something. Nowadays, everything is part of this. You know, there's not a day doesn't go by that I don't see something, I don't think about something that is instrumental in preparedness. I'm a lucky guy because a lot of people have heard the show and they want to come on. They want to talk about their side of their preparedness. And what my guest, which I'll introduce in a little while, is she's one of those types of people. Back last week, also retired lieutenant from the Bergen County Prosecutor's Office. We talked about a very important issue was child safety, child protection, preparedness of strangers and things of that nature. CART was the driving force behind that. That is Child Abduction Response Team. Captain Joe Horniak is out of our county, is ahead of that. A very good guy, I know him personally. And Lieutenant Salento was really opened my eyes on some things because I had some personal experiences with that, and it was good. And I think it's not the disaster that some of the people might be thinking about with property, but it's a disaster nonetheless. That I just don't know how people rebound from that. I just don't. And you know, some of these people walking around zombie like, I mean, you don't know what's what they're walking through and what they've experienced. So things like that can happen. And it happens on an incredible rate, which is frightening. So if you didn't hear the show and you're listening, you're tuning now, this is the Disaster Recovery Hour with your host, Chris Plunkett. You go to sign up on my podcast, drhradio.net. That is drhradio.net. Put your email. We're not soliciting you. We're not going to sell you anything. Put it in there, and you could get any of the podcasts from the past. If something tweaks your interest, whether it's last week with Lieutenant Frank Salento, or it was or the OEM director, or as simple as Dave Fenyahazi, who owns Fabric Granola. We had that way back when, and that's about, he knows how to treat mold and smoke damage and fire damaged clothing with his unique techniques on how to restore, because people really don't want to go out and buy new clothing. They want their own stuff. So that was a very good show. So again, there's so many guests I've had, the Hades and the international guys and guys from D.C. and Homeland Security, FEMA, New Jersey State. You know, just there's a plethora of people out there if you wanted to check it out. A lot of good shows, a lot of good information. And again, what I was talking about, and over the last couple of weeks with the social media, it's really been amped up because we're coming up to September 11th. You know, there's a lot of good things and there's a lot of bad things, unfortunately. You know, people capitalizing on a bad situation. And in our industry, the emergency property restoration business, a lot of people are a little put back that guys like myself here are coming to really, we're there to aid them, but it's a business. We're not first responders, but we're coming in after the fact. And, you know, we're trying to put, you know, at least for me, I mean, how I treat these jobs is that, listen, it is a job. It's got to be performed. But at least I'm going to come in here and I'm going to put your life back together. So, and there's a lot of other companies out there that do the same. There's a lot of companies that don't. They take advantage of the situation, vulnerability. So be on the lookout for that. You know, your insurance agents or your insurance brokers, you should know if something's going to, you know, this is part about being prepared. You should know about, you know, who are they going to send out when something happens. You know, they might have a list of three or four people, and hopefully they're reputable and they got all the right insurances and also the right schooling. You know, when I speak with schooling, I talk about, you know, IICRC certified. I mean, that's a national institute that does fire and smoke and odor and trauma. I got all these certifications. I mean, I had them throughout the years. You pick a little bit, you know, throughout my course of my career. But I really got schooled this past year when I joined up with the service master, there was a lot of things I didn't know. A lot of simple techniques that would assist you people as the insureds, meaning you had a fire, you had a flood, a collapse, whatever, a tree through the house, a car through your business, vandalism. Unfortunately, nowadays, in the last 2 years, there's been crazy amounts of shooter incidences, and so entire malls get shut down. You're out of business continuity. Andy Weitzberg from Long Island, you know, he and I are always bantering back and forth about people being prepared for business, because let me tell you something, it's a tax burden. You know, the government needs that, you need it, because we need social services, we need people to respond to issues, and we want parks and things like that. I guess I'm doing a little rambling. It is a radio show. I'm, you know, again, trying to get at that intel. I got some other things I want to talk about. We're going to go to a break, bring my first guest on, and we'll rock and roll from there. Be right back.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's www.cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
We're back, Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Every Tuesday between 1 and 2 here at WVNJ 1160 AM, The Voice. Unfortunately, we're winding down to the summer, but I'm going to jump into the deep end right now. I was fortunate to be introduced to my next guest, Lynn Maloney. She is the president of Advanced Egress Solutions. Incorporated. It's out on the island, and it's a great story. I don't know that phrase that comes up with it about the mother of invention is something or another. But Lynn, hi, how you doing?
Good, good. Hi, Chris. How are you today?
I'm good. What is that phrase? I don't, you know.
I think it's necessity is the mother of invention.
There it is. There it is. And you are definitely the poster person for that. And I want to jump into that story right away because advanced egress solutions. People are saying, okay, fancy. I maybe building egress, that kind of thing. Tell me what it is.
Okay. Basically, I started this company because my son broke his leg, and he was in a cast and on crutches. He broke his ankle, actually. At school, there was a routine fire drill, and because his classrooms were on the second floor, he was told that rather than use the elevator, because it was a fire drill, he would need to remain by a window with an aide in the school, and in the event of a real emergency, to be rescued. Needless to say, he came home kind of upset. He's kind of a jokester, and he goes, "Well, Mom, at my school, if there's a fire, I'm a goner. They wouldn't let me out." So, and apparently I got a few calls from school that day from a few of the staff members because they said, the other students were concerned too, like, why isn't he allowed out of the building? So I started by, I didn't call the school because I said, they're just doing what they're told. I went to a couple of local, fire commissioners and a couple of different local agencies, and I said, what are the regulations regarding a school, and if there's a fire, do we leave kids behind in buildings? Because it blew my mind. I couldn't believe that that's really an accepted practice. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. So the business is how old? When did you start?
I only started in January.
So a year and change?
Less than a year.
Oh,
January.
This January. So basically almost 9 months.
Right.
So your son took it in stride. I guess I'm a goner. That's such our neck of the woods to say that kind of thing. I'm a goner. You started investigating. Now, let me back up for a second. You retired at this point in your career. You were a professional in the city, I think it was for.
I worked on the island in banking.
Okay, you know. Not to say that somebody who doesn't work doesn't know, but you know the format of how to address and how to get a hold of and so on and so forth. So you do your due diligence, as I say many times on this program. It's an important little phrase that I use. So you wanted to get the intel on, hey, what's the deal with this? And you roll from there, and you went to local officials, then you moved into the government, into state officials, because I saw it on the website.
Well, first I went to the State Department of Education. It took me a while to find the right person, but I talked to a gentleman who is in charge of safety and security, and he actually agreed with me that it's a terrible policy that we ever leave children behind in an emergency. If a child has a known disability, there is something called a personal evacuation plan on file for that child. But my concern was, well, what about everybody else? Kids have asthma. It could be a pregnant teacher, a teacher with a heart condition, anything.
Right.
And so he agreed that it is a bad plan. What he told me is that basically, the student is required to stay with an aide, okay? Aides are not real happy about that. They really don't have any kind of training.
Mm-hmm.
And he said basically what's going to happen is one of two things. The aide's survival instinct will kick in a real emergency, and they'll get that kid out any way they can, whether they got to throw him over their shoulder, drag him down the stairs, whatever. Or they may say, I got to save myself. I have my own kids home, that need me, and leave the child behind, unfortunately. But, we've heard these stories over and over again where people are left behind because, I guess instinctively you want to save yourself.
Sure, yeah, and numerous throughout the country, The fire department, they lose members every year because of whether the person is incapacitated. Unfortunately, there's plenty of them that are overweight, and it takes a long time to get out of the building, and they wind up you know, perishing with the victim themselves. They become a victim. So, and you know, this mother of invention, I agree with that. You say, you know, how can a kid be left behind if we're doing it with getting them to graduate? I bet, you know, trying to get them to live and go on and grow old and have kids themselves. So that's for me, that's eye opening because my wife's a school teacher, and some of the things that I've learned in the past and more recently since the show's inception is that there's a lot of things that some of the questions I ask, and this is not a knock on anybody, so you know what, just hasn't been done or hasn't been addressed or didn't think about it. It's the guy. It's always kind of to get that perspective from the outside. The viewer, you know, the person sitting in the audience saying, what about that? And that's, so to advance this story, it's only coming up in 9 months, but you've made incredible traction.
Yeah. Well, then I went to a bunch of state legislators and I said, you know, did you know that this is the way it goes and that children are left behind? And I got to say, none of them knew this. They were all very surprised. And I actually received a letter from Senator Kemp Hannon who agrees that, you know, not good to leave kids behind. He's looking into drafting a bill in New York State that will basically say that schools need to have devices on premises to safe egress of disabled people or anyone that might need help in an emergency. You know, one of the problems is, well, how do we pay for these things?
Mm-hmm.
I also did a lot of digging, and there is a lot of grant money out there for schools under the emergency preparedness umbrella.
Wow.
You know, FEMA, Homeland Security, the National Fire Council, there is a lot of money out there. Once I brought that to their attention, they looked and they said, you're right, it's there. And also, most of it is tied to education. You know, there's a little caveat that, you know, if we allow you to buy these devices, it also has to be tied to education. So I reminded the senator that every student in New York State must take health. So, you know, I know in all different districts, they're looking at incorporating CPR training, AED training. Well, how about we incorporate a little preparedness training and evacuation planning? You know, our kids are going to leave the school, go maybe live in a dorm on the 10th floor or, you know, work in the city. And this is the world that we live in. They might need to know how to get out one day or help somebody else out.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that. And it was one of the conversations I had with my my wife about that, about what do they do? I mean, it's first and second grade. When is it? Me, I think you should start right. I mean, if kids can swim, you know, 9 months out of the womb, they can start swimming. Then why can't we be teaching kids about preparedness at an early age? You could spin it, which is a bad terminology, but you can spin it or color it for these children to say, okay, make it fun for them. But I don't think the age has anything to do with preparing them for a disaster. And you don't say disaster, you know, that's not about the boogeyman. It's just you know, it doesn't you don't have to, you know, again, deliver that message in the boogeyman mentality. If you want to come out and put a comment on the page to the radio, ask Lynn a question, ask myself a question, because Lynn's got more information, which after we go to break, Lynn's going to come back. We have more stuff. We're not going to break yet, but it's drhradio.net, drhradio.net. Again, drhradio.net. sorry about that, Lynn. So with now, I mean, again, that's really amazing. That's one of the great things about our country. You can get to your elected officials. You know, you just need to do the due diligence. You need to be a little persistent. So you get to your state senator, and he's a little flabbergasted. He's thinking about putting something on the floor for a vote or propose a bill. What about? I mean, you're involved in the school system. Is there parents that are aware of the situation also?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, my school district is very proactive. It kind of falls under the auspices of our assistant superintendent, and he has been great. He really did a lot of, like you say, due diligence and, you know, got a lot of the information, found out a lot of the same things that I did. He's being very proactive about it, has asked me. I've met a lot of people along the way that are very cooperative, so he's asked me to bring some of these people with him to go in and, you know, talk to the different key players and the school about, you know, what you can do in an emergency, just to take the training that they already have a little bit further. So, you know, that's been great. And I also wanted to mention, Chris, that in New York State, there are actually four bills pending before the New York State Legislature having to do with safe egress of disabled people in an emergency. you know, there's all kinds of laws about emergency evacuation planning and, you know, what a building is required to have. Like, you know, you notice there's always an evacuation plan posted somewhere. It takes a little bit further that they need a real plan for disabled people. That's where I got the idea from to, you know, contact the state legislatures about maybe doing something similar for the schools.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think the residents, I've always been an advocate of telling your, you know, we live in a very densely populated area, but there's, you know, thousands of small communities, and we all know that the fire department is around the corner or down the block and so on and so forth. But you can say, listen, you know, my mother is 80-some-odd years old, she's in the basement, or I have a son. Some departments might not be aware of it, and, you know, again, they're doing a volunteer service. They're going above and beyond, so, I mean, it eats up into their personal lives big time. The drilling they have to go through is monumental. So it might. I advocate, and just like last week with the other law enforcement guys and some retired guys and government guys and even insurance guys that I've had on, you know, they advocate go to your local government or first responder and say, listen, this is the situation at my house. You know, just want you to be aware of it. You know, they jot that. They put it in their book. You know, they get a response. Let's just say, for an example, you lose power from the storms we had this past year. You're not going to have power for 5-6 days. You know, they need to attract that individual, get them to a safe haven, if you will. You know, they have oxygen they need. You know, those are the kinds of things that we try to push. When you and I first started talking, I could just feel the passion of what was transpired with Advanced Egress Solutions, and I think it's dynamite. We should let's go to the commercial break, and we'll pick up where we left off with Lynn. Thanks.
I know it's tough to hear me with this firefighter's air pack on, but it's the only way I can be in this smoldering pile of ashes that was my office. And I could get in trouble, but I hope you won't make the same mistake I did, since at least 1 in 4 businesses that suffer this type of loss never reopen. So here goes. Just 3 days ago, we sat in this melted wreck of what used to be a conference room, talking about how good things were. Over there was the tech room. The fire's bad enough, but the water damage really gets me. Look, here's an article describing us as visionaries. I should have done our disaster plan, but with everything else, I just didn't see this coming. Visionaries, huh? Well, the good news is, at least the ashes can't burn down.
There'll always be a few fires to put out around the office, unless it's not around anymore. But when you have a disaster plan, you can adapt, recover, and stay in control. Go to Ready.gov and make your company's plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. CPP is the answer. CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, their seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition.
Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next?
Fire, smoke, water, or mold, CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, they've got answers. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
The money is all dried up, and the work is all gone. Don't want to go to the mailbox, don't want to answer the phone. Did I mention my baby left me? They're foreclosing on my home.
attorney Michael Guidro is the cure for your bankruptcy blues. With a bankruptcy success rate of nearly 100%, Michael Guidro is an expert in bankruptcy, credit card settlement, and loan modification. For a consultation, call 201-837-7777. 201-837-7777. Call today and get rid of your bankruptcy blues.
Welcome back. Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett, every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. WVNJ, 1160 a.m. The Voice. We broadcast, we do it in Jersey over here in Teaneck, and it's broadcasted, beamed out over out of an antenna in Oakland, and then we get around the tri-state area. So feel free to jump on the comments page, drhradio.net. That's drhradio.net, with our today's guest, with Lynn Maloney, who's the president of Advanced Egress Solutions. Is a retired executive from banking, and a mother of three teenage children. And she opened up hung a shingle on this Advanced Egress Solutions 9 months ago because of her son coming home and saying they had a fire drill, and that he was left with an aide, and he said he was going to be a goner. And it's, I kind of find that funny for a kid to say that. That was kind of funny, but not funny if reality does happen. Lynn, with all this, National Preparedness Month coming up, September 9/11, you got to think irony, no?
Oh gosh, yeah. I have to correct you though. I have 5 kids. I have 2 in college. I don't want them to listen and go, hey, Ma, you forgot about us. But anyway.
Send more money.
Yeah, actually, I got involved in the National Preparedness Coalition. I saw something about it online and got involved, and I've actually reached out to most of the universities out here on the island, just asking them to please, you know, it's simple. You just go on the website, download the forms, the sign. You can hang it in the window. Just remind new people, get a kit, have a plan, you know what to do. But every time I turn around, there's something else having to do with this. So I really feel in my heart that I'm doing the right thing. Once all this happened, I said, all right, now that I started this, I really need to find something to either donate to the school district or, you know, find an answer. Why don't we have devices all over the place? And what I found out is most of them are pretty expensive.
Yeah.
So I started doing some homework, and I found a little rescue mat that a woman in Australia invented. She actually was working in an office in a nursing home, and they called upon her to help out. I don't know if it was a drill or a real emergency, but basically they dragged patients out on a sheet. And she said she'll never forget the look on these poor people's faces being dragged. You know, they didn't know what was happening. They were scared to death. It hurts getting pulled on a sheet, banged around downstairs, and they got burns on their back from being dragged over carpeting and linoleum. So anyway, she couldn't believe this is the way it's done. Invented this little mat that works on the premise of furniture movers. You know, when we put those little magic put those little magic circles under and you can move the furniture. Same thing. That's basically how it works. And you can move a body.
Yeah.
They're very inexpensive. So I called her and I said, you know, I'm in the U.S., very interested. How much are they and where can I buy some? And she didn't have anybody in the U.S. as a distributor. There are a lot here in the U.S., mostly in teaching hospitals and children's hospitals.
That's interesting.
Yes, they were all bought with grant money.
Right.
So I talked to her back and forth numerous times, and eventually I became, you know, talked to my husband. I said, I feel like I need to do this. This is an inexpensive solution to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I started the company, you know, just really having her math. And it just kind of branched out from there. The gentleman who sells, her mats are sold all over the world. I mean, you know, giant sales. They're everywhere in Europe. I mean, everywhere. The guy who sells them for Europe contacted me and said, you know, I manufacture a couple other things. Do you mind if I send you a sample? Can you take a look? So I took on his products, and so far everyone I showed them to loves them. And then a guy in Kentucky who came up with an evacuation device that's buoyant. There really are nothing else that's buoyant. Him and I ended up getting together, so we're each all selling each other's products, and, you know, we're like the new kids on the block with new stuff. My stuff is from Australia and Europe. The Evacupod from Kentucky is brand new, so we're all just starting out, but we all have a passion for
it's the passion,
you know, getting inexpensive products so that there is a solution to the problem.
Yeah, we have a not a question, but just a comment from Stephen. And Stephen, I appreciate you putting the comment up on the website. And his comment is strictly this: it's hard to believe, and thanks for bringing this to my attention. And I agree. It's again, it's like every couple of days, a week or 2 weeks, I'm like, wow, we're not doing that. And then here's something that I got to be honest, I never thought about it. You know, I'm thinking about the so it's not the ABCs of being prepared. It's A B C D E F G. The list is getting longer, but I think people saying, you know, there's so much to prepare for, but we've really only been in this state of mind for the last 10 years, basically. There are some people who have been, you know, survivalists, and they know how to garden and cook their own, you know, live off the land and water and so on and so forth. But that was just a small percentage of the population. The preparedness movement, unfortunately, came off of, you know, from my experience, the majority of it's coming off of downtown and the Pentagon and in Pennsylvania. It just seems like there's a lot to prepare for. But, you know, the other countries throughout the world, and especially the Middle East, these people have been doing it for 40 and 50 years. You know, they've been learning a little bit. So now their list might be very long, but it doesn't seem that long because they're only learning something new every once in a while, because they've already had the other stuff experienced. They've already solved those issues. And that's, again, that's one of the greatest things about our country. You know, you were able to go to your elected officials and say, you know, wake up. This is what's happening out there. And you're right, with the grant money, there is grant money out there. But one of the things, the upside to grant money is that the downside is it's very arduous. And I know a guy in DC who does write grant money. It's tedious and it's boring and so on and so forth, but it really weeds out the people who are just looking to make a quick buck. Right. So that is the upside to it. But it's, again, it's an arduous chore. But there is money out there. Yeah. If you just join us at Disaster Recovery Hour, I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. On the phone today is Lynn Maloney. She's the president of Advanced Egress Solutions Incorporated. She's out on the island, but she's now, you know, obviously with the websites and social media, anybody is really pretty much next door. A guy can live in D.C., a guy can live in Washington, or a woman can live in North Dakota, for that matter, and have a product that you can get in a day and a half, if not sooner. Lynn, some of the other things we talked about, beds before, not on the show, but prior to the show. And, I thought this was pretty interesting about products that are out there, but you get resistance from, certain segments of people that say, you know what, this could create, it might be like the figure, how to get 90 miles to a car for a gallon of gas. It just might be too soon, too fast. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I think that we need to be proactive, and, you know, I don't mean to, like, scare people and think, you know,
yeah, I agree. I
think that there's a disaster waiting around the corner, but, you know, why not be prepared? Everybody has Band-Aids in their house, right? Why? You know, are you scared that something's going to happen? No, it's just a simple tool that you have there. If somebody gets a cut, that you can take care of it. And although that's, you know, a very, you know, simple example, you know, it's you're prepared, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're prepared,
sure,
if something happens. And I just think, you know, everybody needs to do that. You know, going back to the money thing, I think that there's all kinds of stuff out there that people don't know about. There are tax incentives. It's called the Disabled Access Credit, DAC. You can get back up to $5,000 a year for purchasing devices for your business to have on premises, you know, in case you need them.
You know what?
There's a good website called askjan.org. It's a government website, and it's all about assistance for disabled people, you know, everything, soup to nuts.
Yeah, I want
a good resource.
Yeah, I want, we're going to put that on our website, so there's a link for that, because I didn't know about that, and I think that's a fabulous, you were talking about small companies that are able to have some form of, I guess, business continuity, if you will, in a roundabout way, that there are tax credits for that.
Right. And also, there is a study that's out. It was done by Harvard, and it's called the Harvard Humanitarian Initiative. Very, very interesting. But just really quickly, the money part of it is, statistics suggest, this I'm quoting from the report, Statistics suggest that every dollar invested in disaster preparedness yields a savings of $4 to $11 in disaster response, relief, and recovery.
Right, yeah.
You know, and I could give you that website, too. It's just very interesting. So, you know, there's even studies been done showing that if you lay out the money and are prepared, you're going to save in the long run.
Yeah, we have said those stats prior numerous times, and they are out there, and they should be continually pounded that, you know, for layman's purposes, just $1 instead of $14. And the $14, if you will, in some, Katrina was a lot more than that. It was actually, the number is ridiculous, and I got that number officially from a government guy who said, don't tell them, but the number was ridiculous on what they could have done prior to that and what we wound up spending. And all that, the $14, the $15, the $13, whatever it is for responding because of non-preparedness, that's tax money. That comes directly out of the citizens' pockets. That's simple.
Right.
And, you know, it's not brain surgery. There's a question for you from Joanne. It says, does Lynn sell her products online? Joanne? Lynn?
Hi, I'm here.
Yeah, no. You sell your products online?
Yes, I do. Most of them. The larger ones, I don't have the prices online. I can sell them online. I don't have the prices there because often it's not for profits,
mm-hmm.
and I, you know, offer that. I don't want to charge them, to, you know, if they don't pay tax, and, you know, I might waive the shipping because it's a not-for-profit. So, you know, most of them are online, though, yes.
Okay. You know, let's go to a break, and when we come back, we'll sign off. But give me all your intel. People, how they can get a hold of you, and again, reiterate the website so people can take a look at the products and also your consulting services. I mean, God, you know, you're consulting right now on the air, so see what we can do with that. So let's go to a break, pay a couple bills.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net.
When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's www.cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
Katie Valentine's new UFO show. Watching strange visitors that come and go. The UFO show with Katie Valentine. We're gonna travel through space and rocket through time. Exploring what is possible, examine what is logical.
Are we really out here all alone? Find out on the UFO Show with Kate Valentine, Friday afternoons at 1 on WVNJ.
At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster never reopen. Let me repeat. At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster, whether it's man-made or natural, never reopen. Yet far too many business owners put off their company's disaster.
You have 5 new messages.
Can you sign it for me, please?
Don't forget those copies for the presentation.
Disaster plan because they let too many day-to-day things get in the way.
Is that 3 p.m. going to be all right with your schedule?
Hey, don't forget that Stan proposes due.
Be in the conference room in 5 minutes, please.
To save your messages, press 1.
Received dispatch. Truck 47 en route to 614 North Front Street.
Received. Be advised, truck 47. Heavy fire showing from the 9th floor. Second alarm being dispatched at this time.
Disasters are unpredictable, but when you have a plan in place, you can better adapt, recover, and stay in control. So don't wait. Visit ready.gov to make your company's disaster plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. It's the Disaster Recovery Hour. WVNJ 1160 AM, The Voice, every Tuesday between 1 and 2. on the phone today, and my guest today is Lynn Maloney. She's the president of Advanced Egress Solutions. And some of the stuff that she was telling me today, and to you guys out there, the listeners, is, I'm sure, very eye-opening. Leaving a kid, again, I don't think it's, I think it's just a protocol situation. It's not a deliberate thing, as Lynn, I think you're implying. Lynn, I appreciate you coming on the show. For sign-off purposes, we do have a hyperlink off of your bio of on our website, but then why don't you give it out anyway?
Oh, sure. My website is www.advancedegresssolutions.com, and my email is sales@advancedegresssolutions.com.
You gotta love, no more calling, and waiting and getting back. It's very quite quick, and you can really get. That's one of the greatest things about the internet. I mean, I'm not a real techie guy, but you can get to what you want rather quickly. It was eye opening. It was enjoyable. More information I have when I can address my unfortunate future customers, because disasters do happen on a daily basis. After the show, I'll be going to another one. Just got that information. Lynn, a pleasure. Let's keep in contact. And you know what? Do me a favor with the updates and your advancements with talking to your local officials, and if things are becoming up on the floor for vote or even prospective votes and bills, keep me in the loop. I can get it out on the airwaves. You know, we use the show as a public service announcement. The more we can get out there, you see something, say something, any of those tags would be great. And it was a pleasure talking with you.
Oh, thank you, Chris. My pleasure.
All right, we'll talk soon. Thanks a lot, Lynn. That was, like I said, a great interview. I didn't know those things. You know, I just didn't know. I don't know if obviously, you know, some of the parents or most of the parents, I should say, in her school district weren't aware of that either. And you know what the first responders got? They got themselves there's a task and a half to go to rescue people. me first. You know, that's an unfortunate thing that they need to contend with all the time. You know. And disabled, you know. So it is advantageous to set a plan if you're residential or a place of business. You know what? As a business owner, that should be part of your business continuity. Is how some businesses have people in wheelchairs or mentally challenged who are getting these people into the workforce for several good reasons. You know, instead of just sitting them and looking at the tables and drawing and whatever, you know, they're out there, putting kits together or things like that, or helping with light manufacturing. It's again, one of the a good byproduct of social services and our infrastructure with the government of trying to get the populace into the workforce. When I talk about business continuity, I always refer back to the guru of my good friend Andy Weitzberg. Andy, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you, Andy? It's a good, beautiful Tuesday today.
It is.
Hey, Andy, I wanted to get your take on this. You know, this business continuity, the BCPs, and you know, just because some insurance companies are not acknowledging it as a premium discount, that some say, you know, why bother? I'm not a big fan of that philosophy. You're not going to do something because you're not going to get paid for it or whatever. It's the prudent thing to do.
Well, what's happened is, unfortunately, once it goes out of that department in the insurance company, it doesn't seem to get into the underwriting department. In fact, there are a couple of LinkedIn groups that have been talking about that lately. Insurance companies look at a BCP plan when they are looking at underwriting, as far as looking at it as a company that actually does a good job of planning and making sure in mitigating most of as many risks as possible. But unfortunately, state laws, at least I know in New York, and probably in most other areas, do not allow them to give additional discounts for it at this point. Maybe with the new audit requirements that are coming out, or the new audit, they're not requirements yet, but they're
right.
Voluntary audits, they're called PS Prep,
mm-hmm.
Standards. Maybe at that point, maybe the insurance companies will reconsider because they'll be standards.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was in a meeting last month, and this is we went from Lynn with Advanced Egress Solutions, and that is definitely out of my good friend Andy's network. Thank you very much, Andy, for introducing her to me. I see a very bright future for her. Also, my collaboration with her, because I have some ideas about schools, and I do have a little inside intel because my wife is a teacher and how the inner workings go. But regarding the business continuity and premium reduction and business, you know, the government, and what I said about the insurance, I mean, we only got a couple minutes to go, but I wanted to get you on your thoughts on that. You know, it's a slow movement to them to recognize the BCP, the business continuity plans of businesses, and I think there should be some form of reward for somebody doing, again, the due diligence. Listen, you know, your business goes out, you've heard the commercials off this show, one in four don't respond, and two out of three within a couple more years they're done. So I think there should be, you know, a little fire, a little match, a little kick in the butt, saying, listen, what's your plan? And I'm getting involved with a company that is on the forefront of doing those types of things. These people used to work for the government, and it's very interesting stuff. It's great content for me to have for the show, where I can get out and say, listen, I think you should do this, and it might be it might be to your advantage. Just quickly, because I do a sign off also, Andy. Do you I know you've dealt with some people in New York State's insurance departments and things like that. Do you see, is it a pushback, or is it, you know, it's just not there yet?
It's not there yet, Chris. Unfortunately, hopefully at some point it will be, but unfortunately at this point it is not a major consideration.
Yeah.
I'd like to just throw one last thing in.
Yeah, go for it. Always.
Lynn is a perfect example of entrepreneurship in the U.S., of someone seeing an opportunity and creating a small business out of it, because it's not only Lynn and probably part-time her husband, but she has other people now starting to work with her and for her, because she's gotten more and more business, and this is in less than a year, so opportunities are out there.
Yeah, without a doubt, and that is a beautiful byproduct of this capitalistic democratic society of ours. I know people can be facetious by me saying that, and I'm not. I will. It looks like I'm getting something up. Carol, there is a question. Quickly, Carol's got a question for Lynn. I'll make sure Lynn answers that, Carol. And Carol's question is, schools need to have these products. It's not unusual for a kid to have an injury. I would think teachers would be trained to assist students with injuries. And what about kids' disabilities? Carol, I'll get her to respond to that question for you. Andy, we got a little Fox News thing going on right now. An update, not an update, but it says there's unconfirmed reports of an earthquake hitting Washington, D.C. I was there yesterday.
I just felt it at my place, and I'm out in Long Island.
Oh, boy.
You know, the chandelier shook just slightly.
Well, we got 4 minutes to go. I think anybody listening, tune in to, you know, turn on your TV, see what's cooking down there. God forbid that is the case. And if it is the case, hopefully it's a minor one. Andy, thanks for taking a couple minutes. Again, I wanted to just kind of resolve that because, you know, we're always talking about the ACP. I am a member. I know they are an integral part of this program, and you are an advisor to this program, and because this is where our government and private industry is moving with plans in place, so the government doesn't stop writing checks because they don't have any money left. With that said, Andy, take care. I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you obviously probably by the end of the day because that's what we do.
Thank you.
And I got a
have
couple.
Have a great day.
You too. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Looks like 8-point magnitude sent into Virginia, U.S. Capitol, Pentagon being evacuated. Oh boy, let's hopefully structural damage is to a minimum. We just got a couple minutes to go in the show as I'm getting fed that information. And we're just kind of tremors felt far as New York City. So I didn't feel anything up here. 5.8 magnitude quake. Wow, that is, I don't know if anybody knows, but that is not the San Andreas fault that runs around there that goes straight down into Tennessee. It is the San Madreas fault, I believe it's called. I was in one this past spring when I was down in Tennessee at the Disaster Academy. These are all quick information. There's no reports of injuries quite yet. The irony of it is I was wanted to just give a little intel on the disasters, man-made natural disasters that's happening in our country. We're at billions and billions and billions of dollars, but I'm not going to have enough time to talk about that. I'll talk about it next week. I also want to talk about the World Police and Fire Games that are happening for, they just started. Actually, they started on the 26th of August, run through the first week of September. It is the anniversary of 9/11. It's Natural Preparedness Month. Get to know your first responders, please. And also, you see anybody in camis walking around that serve our country, you thank them for that. We do live in a great country. We got some bugs. We still have major bugs we need to work out. And one of them is ending the wars over there. I think it's, we got to get out of there. It's ridiculous. These kids are, it's like, I was too young for Vietnam. My brother was going to there, but didn't, thank God. So this is insane. These young kids, 19 to 22 years old, getting killed, IEDs and such, and mass brain traumas and such. It's just insane. Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host every Tuesday. WVNJ 1160 AM. Let's hope DC and the surrounding areas are okay. We'll sign off. God bless our country, and we'll see you next week. Take care.